Hello, and welcome to Millennial 2017, number 21, and this is with His Gloriousness, the Golden One.
Hello.
Hello, and thank you for coming on.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is the first time that you and I have collaborated, so I thought it was, I thought it was appropriate. I mean, I really should have had you on last Millennial, so I apologize for that oversight. It's definitely been a strange year. I think it does seem to be a running theme in this series of hangouts that 2017 has been a turbulent year for the movement. How would you approach this? What would you say about that?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I was just listening to your previous show with Countercurrents, obviously one of my favorite sites, and I think you had a good discussion there with a lot of ups and downs, like some bad moments. Obviously, with Charlottesville, wasn't the best moment for right wing ideas, etc. But we've also gone forward in a lot of ways. I mean, both your channel and my channel has grown quite much, and I think at least Countercurrents, their readership has increased as well, and a lot of people have become enlightened. We've seen a lot of alt-light individuals take the step from civic nationalism to real nationalism, etc. So even though we have had setbacks, we have had a steady progression as well. So a turbulent year with a lot of ups and downs, for sure.
Yeah, and to concentrate on the positives for a while, my channel has doubled in size this year. I know that yours has grown. I think that Red Ice they're 50% more subscribers than they had this time last year, although I'm not positive about that. I know that Identity Europa has grown. I know that there's the new Operation Homeland. There has been growth. And throughout the movement, and I know that Generation Identity on the continent has also become far more of a thing. Of course, there was the Defend Europe mission, which I thought was fantastic, and really brought that. I think that brought a lot of attention to identitarianism, European identitarianism. I think a lot of people simply had never heard of it before, and also they were despairing at the migrant crisis, that nothing was being done. There seemed to be impotence, like Europeans felt impotent in the face of the migrant crisis, and then suddenly there was a ship literally stopping NGOs from bringing migrants into Europe. I mean, that was a fantastic achievement, I thought.
Yeah, definitely. And they did something very valuable as well. And that was, like, the mainstream media focused very much on the invasion during the autumn of 2015 and the spring of 2016. They haven't focused as much on it. And then people tend to forget that it's going on if they don't see it with their own eyes. Defend Europe obviously brought it back to focus a bit. At least it's been the case in the Swedish mainstream media that there was a lot of headlines during late 2015, early 2016. And then maybe it was because they got a bit scared when Trump won and Brexit and everything, so they decided to keep down the discussion on the migrant crisis. But definitely, that action brought the focus back to that is still going on. It hasn't stopped in 2016. It's still going on day by day, even as we speak.
Yeah. So, one thing I would say here is I think it's also just because the story gets old. I mean, if you remember the reaction to the Charlie Hebdo attack, it went on for a long time. It was like a few weeks. And whereas if you look at the attacks this year, Manchester, London Bridge, Westminster, it's like a week that they talk about it, and then it's just over. And I think it's the same with the migrant crisis. At first, it was big and new, and the mainstream media made the mistake of talking about it, which got a lot of people red-pilled. But then, as you say, whether for ideological reasons or just because it's become an old story, they stopped talking about it, and so then the public go back to sleep and forget about it. But as you say, it's going on and on every single day. And it's only outlets like Breitbart and Red Ice, that and other things like the Vlad Tepes blog, I suppose, and things like that, that keep going on about it. And so it is. But then the Defend Europe thing brought it back into focus again.
Yeah, I would say that if we look back at not only this year but the last 2 years, perhaps I'd say that we, as the right-wing opposition, or however we want to refer to ourselves as, have pounced upon the opportunity quite well, because a lot of people during 2015, the autumn, and 2016 became enlightened to these things, and then came Trump as well, and just pushed in people into our crusade, as it were. So, I mean, it definitely brought us on an upswing in that regard. And then, obviously, as we see right now, a lot of different people that has come in from different backgrounds, intellectually, starting to create fractions, etc.
That's an unfortunate thing that happens when a movement grows. You end up getting the splinters, the splinter groups, and the disagreements. But
yeah,
I think it's important to keep the momentum, because obviously there are going to be disagreements. And you know, in 2 years ago, there might have been 5 people who thought that thing, but now there are 500 people who think that thing. So they can go off and do their own movement, and then that leads to factionalism, and so that's just a reality, and it is something we're going to have to manage. I think it's essential that we don't fall into the cliche trap of right-wing dissident politics, which is that everyone just begins to hate each other and they forget that they all have one common enemy, which is the mainstream.
I think there's a lesson to be learned. Like last year we had the Trump election, and Brexit, to a certain extent, that everyone was just aiming for that, had a clear goal. Then 2017 comes, and everyone is like a bit, don't have the same sort of direction. So I think it's important that we must try to find a new target, as it were, so we don't fall into this infighting all the time. But then again, it's easy to say in retrospect, of course, but yeah.
Well, you know, Trump's next. Let's see. It's 2020, so I guess the campaign for that will start in like towards the second half of 2018. So we don't actually have that long left to wait before unifying mission.
We don't start hating each other all too much until then. So
yeah, if we can just stay on the happy pills until then we'll manage. We'll get through this.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so I suppose one of the things that has concerned both you and me is that part of an example of the factionalism that has manifested recently in the shape of the Thoughtgate thing. And I know that you've made several videos about it. I made one big video about it. And I think it does point to, well, two things. First, the factionalism, and the second thing is that people are bored. There is a sense, not just bored, despairing, because they don't have enough to do. There isn't a unifying thing. So again, this is an ongoing problem, because as the numbers grow, it won't matter. I mean, because there will be people who want to support Trump and get behind that, but also there will be very large numbers of people who say, well, Trump is just a civic nationalist, so what's the point of supporting him? And therefore, I think that this is something that really needs to be discussed quite thoroughly. I'd rather not go on about it, because there is always the danger of just reopening old wounds. But I think at this stage, you go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree completely. And I respect you for making that long, thorough video as well. And I obviously made a few videos to just make a clear distinction that I don't in any way, shape or form endorse this sort of very un-European sentiments towards women. I think that's not congruent with our aesthetics as gentlemen. And yeah, as I've said in a recent video as well, like, it doesn't matter if you look around you and all you see is pink-haired feminists. Like, we still want to create a new culture. And in creating a new culture, we conduct ourselves in the way we see fit and in accord with the culture we want to create. So be a gentleman if you want to go back to more traditional values. Simple as that. Don't let the modern world drag you down. And I mean, it's I wouldn't say that it is worthy to refer to women as whores and sluts and thoughts and all of these things just because they might have said something. I understand that people are angry, of course, but it's also about maintaining a good, respectable rhetoric, because a lot of our enemies are seeing what we do. Journalists are looking at our videos, our comment sections, our articles. So they see us, and then they're not going to be afraid if we use this really juvenile and angry rhetoric. They're going to be afraid. They're afraid of countercurrents, for example, because they have a high level of discourse. They're not going to be afraid of someone who's just, oh, these sluts are so horrible, or kill everyone of a minority group. Why? Because that is not how you present a worldview that can threaten the current order. But then on to, I've obviously thought about this in regard to the woman question quite a bit, and I would say that you can look at it from two different perspectives. My view has always been this, that I haven't really seen myself as part of any movement or any organization. I've just done my own thing. I hope I have my enemies. I know exactly who they are. The liberal establishment of the West, the journalists, mainstream media. I want to bring as much pressure to them as possible. I want to, in this tug of war, I am on one side, trying to convert normies to my perspective, trying to convert the local police officer, trying to convert the local whatever it might be, whereas the left is on the other side trying to convert. So I see everyone who's pulling in the same direction as I am. So we have these women, for example, who are really good at it. They're really strong in their attraction. They can pull really many normies to us. That is my perspective. So then I obviously see that when people are scaring these individuals away, that are bringing normies into my worldview. When these angry guys then scare these away, I'm losing power in my in my grip, as it were. But I'm just, this is just an analysis on my part. I might be wrong, but as I see it, I think many of these guys who have lashed out so hard against many of these women, they view the alt-right or the dissident right or nationalism, right-wingism, whatever you want to label it as, they view it more as a community where they want to feel a part of it. And of course they do. I mean, obviously everyone wants to be a part of a community, of a social setting. But then they view these women coming in, taking up a lot of space, getting a lot of attention, getting recognition. So I understand that they get angry, but they don't see that we are in a life and death struggle for our civilization, and that we need everyone who can pull the society's lodge to our side. So I say that if all of these guys start viewing it in a different light, they will have a bit more tolerance to these women. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that I endorse any sort of degenerate behavior by women, but I think at least that there is an element of these guys. They want a male-exclusive community that they can feel a part of. What are your thoughts about this?
I think that people enjoy being part of a subculture, and because, you know, it's fun. And it gives them a sense of belonging and reassurance. And then when that subculture begins to change, you know, this is the cliche of, well, I liked their early work. I was there before everyone else thought it was cool. It was authentic in the early days. And now it's becoming popular. It's they're betraying their own principles and all this. That is a cliche. And, you know, there's some truth to it. Things have to evolve. This is what I was saying in the countercurrents hangout last night. You can't expect it. Well, you can expect it to remain a subculture forever and just you and people like you. But then you shouldn't expect it to get anywhere to succeed. And a big danger with political subcultures is that the people involved in them get accustomed to being losers as a subculture. They become accustomed to defeatism, to defeat. And then anything which threatens that is a threat to them. And I think that a large, I mean, there are very many forces involved in what's happened over the last few weeks, and this is one of them, this desire to keep it as it was. But I think that's not right, it's not healthy, and it's not going to help us. And then there are other forces as well. I mean, I think I understand that people, you know, it's annoying to hear that Lauren Southern once had a half-black boyfriend. I mean, it just is. It just is frustrating. But again, people make mistakes. Now, and the other thing is, she never said she was an ethno-nationalist. We sort of, the alt-right sort of ascribed that to her. And she could have done more to reject that, or she could have done more to embrace it. I don't know. She's never, you know, been decisive about that. I think she has to be decisive about it now.
I'd say that she should probably make a video saying that you know, this was a mistake, and say to other people that they shouldn't do it. That is a reasonable course of action. Obviously, some people, they won't feel satisfied until she is gone completely. Some people accept it. For me, it's like, we must acknowledge that she made a mistake, and it doesn't look good if, for me, for example, if I accept that and just say like, oh, she made a mistake, that can send the wrong signal to younger women. So it is good in a sense that I obviously, yet again, will say that I absolutely abhor all sort of anti-female sentiments, but it's also reasonable that people are angry and that she acknowledged to herself that, you know, she made a mistake and she doesn't wish anyone else to do these mistakes. Because there's also a lot of girls who have not made these mistakes, and I want to be fair to them as well. That, you know, sometimes you have to pay for your mistakes, and sometimes you have to own up to them. Sometimes you have to swallow the bitter pill of saying to yourself and saying to others, like, oh, I made a mistake. So that's my view on the whole Lauren situation.
I would also say she either has to admit that that was a mistake back then, or she has to say that her flirting with the alt-right was a mistake. It's really one of those, you know.
I would say that the thing is, now a lot of young girls have seen, okay, this is what happens if I'm not responsible with my sexuality. And I mean, shaming culture, we had it for a reason back in the day. And yet again, I don't enjoy seeing anyone taking a lot of heat. But it can also be good for women to see that, okay, it is a good idea for me to be a bit more careful with what I do, because otherwise I will go into this trap and people will not forget me. So, I mean, it can be a good thing also.
For sure. I do agree with that.
So, I mean, a bit of slut shaming sounds horrible when you say it, but I mean, it's there for a reason. And obviously, if you want to go back to a bit more traditional values where women are a bit more, a bit less promiscuous, perhaps, it can be good that a lot of women see this whole drama unfold and they don't want to be in that situation where they've been exposed as someone who,
made mistakes earlier on.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my thoughts on that whole situation. But another thing I thought to elaborate on, I actually listened to your interview with Lauren Rose, obviously a brilliant young woman. And I can say like this, a lot of these guys, they are angry that new young women, they come in, get a ton of attention, a ton of subscribers directly, and they say that they don't come up with any original ideas, etc. Now, I would be the first one. I would have the most reason to feel bitter that her channel then grows so quickly. I mean, for me, when I reached 20,000 subscribers, I had put in so much work and done so much and gone such a long and hard and heavy road to get there. And then I see her, I mean, she's putting her name and face upon a set of very controversial views, so that should be respected. But fact of the matter, she has gotten there quite quickly. But here's the thing, that since we are enlightened. We are red-pilled. We acknowledge Mother Nature as our goddess, as our guiding light, the principles of Mother Nature. So then that means we also have to accept that women, they can get there more quickly. People will listen to women. They are better at conveying a message. So on one side, we have, yes, a woman must be much more careful with her sexuality. So a guy can be more out and about and perhaps a bit promiscuous. I don't endorse that in any way, but it's not the same thing. It's much worse when a woman does it. So there we have one side of the woman versus man thing. But on the other side, women have an easier time when it comes to expanding really, really quickly. So if we want to be fair, it is quite fair that, okay, women have an easier time getting a lot of attention and support, but you also have to be more careful with what they do. Conclusion to every guy who thinks that, oh, these women get so much attention because of this and that. I mean, it is what it is. It's no idea to view that as something bad. I mean, they are bringing in a lot of people to our view, to our different media. I mean, take someone like Tara McCarthy. She has driven a lot of traffic to my channel, for example. And I mean, if they bring in normies that then can come over to us just because a normie clicks on a YouTube video, see a beautiful girl, and then in the sidebar comes like, oh, related topics, the golden one or millennial woes talking about roughly the same thing. So, I mean, they can bring in a lot of people. So instead of being bitter and saying like, oh, these women have such an easy time because they're women and etc., view that as something good instead. So anyway, I salute these women.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, their presence, as I've outlined extensively, I think that their presence is on the whole definitely positive for the movement in various ways. They are better. I wouldn't say they're better communicators than men. I think in general women are. But in our case, in the case of the women we're talking about, they're simply presenting a more friendly face and appealing to people who frankly would never look at my channel, a lot of them, but they still get into these ideas. And then there are people who might not be attracted to my channel in the first place, but then once they've become acquainted with these ideas from the women, they do go to my channel and yours.
I think you said it, if it was in your longer video, that women can supply a red pill that is sugar-coated, something along those lines. And that's exactly the case, especially since The Great Enemy, mainstream media, etc., Hollywood, they've always either portrayed us as one or two things, an evil fascist who want to oppress everyone and everything, or a loser nationalist, basically. So one of those two. And then when a woman comes in and completely breaks their narrative, that is extremely powerful. Because that's just a stereotype the left has been playing on so hard for so long. Psychoanalysis, like, oh, this guy is just angry at the world. He wants to hate someone, or he wants to oppress women, or he wants to oppress minorities, etc. And then when a woman comes in and has the same talking points, I mean, it completely shatters their illusion, their perception of
us. Their narrative. Yeah, exactly. It does. It's hilarious because they cannot possibly use the same arguments to make fun of those women. So what they do instead is they'll try to come up with something like, well, she's obviously some kind of oddball. She's obviously a bit mad. Otherwise, she wouldn't be doing this. But again, that doesn't ring true because it's quite obvious that someone like Brittany Pettibone, for example, is obviously a well-balanced woman. There's... I mean, this is why it's so ridiculous when the ADL or whoever try to besmirch her, because it's obviously dishonest on their part. So, and Lauren Rose as well, I would certainly say the same about her. So again, I think this is... sorry, you go.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I can just... if I look upon myself, it's quite easy for the Swedish mainstream media or for the Dutch media or whatever. I mean, they have their pick of pictures where I look a bit thuggish, to be honest. If I pose in some sort of way, I mean, I have 1,000 pictures on my Instagram, and not every picture is a friendly smile. So, I mean, they can take even me, who I think a lot about aesthetics and optics and appearance, but they can take this and reinforce their narrative as well. So if they want now, next hit piece on me, for example, right-wing extremist, the golden one, is training a right-wing something, and then they have a picture where I look really hench. I mean, so that can, even if I am aware of all of this, it can reinforce their narrative. But as you say, like, yeah, Brittany Pettibone, no one is going to take that seriously if they try to portray her as some sort of thuggish right-wing extremist.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, they do similar stuff with me. You know, whenever they have a photo, they'll choose the worst photo of me, obviously. And this, and they'll have me looking angry or hateful. You know, the one frame in the Cologne, when I was at the Cologne Cathedral, they chose the one frame where I just looked like a nasty piece of work. Basically. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, obviously, it's obviously a cheap tactic, but this is the sort of thing they do.
Yeah.
Eventually, and they know exactly what they're doing. So again, I think this is stuff that having women in the movement simply is another bulwark that we have against the mainstream media. So I mean, obviously everyone knows my point of view on this now. But one other angle that I think is relevant to your channel and mine is that, now, before I say this, it's important to say that there are legitimate reasons to worry about women being in the movement, especially being prominent in the movement. And I addressed each of those concerns in my own, the long video that I made about it. I do understand why a lot, like the legitimate concerns that some guys have about it. But then there are illegitimate. I mean, there are just stupid reasons to be going mad, you know, about Thoughtgate. And I do believe that a lot of it is to do with the character deficiencies of people who are, of men and, you know, teenage boys and stuff, who are attracted to dissident politics. And this is a vulnerability in ourselves that we absolutely should be aware of, so that we can prevent it from making us take bad decisions. And I mean, you know, I'm certainly not exempting myself from this. There are many reasons to get into dissident politics, but one of them is that you are unhappy with the world. And one of a very good reason to be unhappy with the world is that you're unhappy in your own life. And I think that a lot of people today are unhappy with their own lives. And it's because of society. Yeah, you can blame it on that. It doesn't matter. The point is that you are in a vulnerable state, which can make you make bad decisions. And one of them is to lash out at the women in the movement. Now, the reason I say this is relevant to your channel and mine is that your channel, in very different ways, you and I both try to rehabilitate people. So that, I mean, one of the things I say an awful lot is that you should try to know yourself. You should try to examine yourself so that you don't fall into delusion or make mistakes, and that you should try to fix yourself. Now, I certainly don't pretend to be perfect or even to have my life sorted out, because I just don't. It's not. I don't live a settled life yet, but I am trying. And what I try to do is transmit lessons that I learn to the audience. And I think in a very different way, you try to do the same thing. And this is what I'm trying to say here is not puff myself up or you, but to say that there is a process of healing from modernity that has to be done. And that is part of what I do and what you do. And I think that until that process is complete, and, you know, for each one of us, it might never be complete, we should be careful about lashing out, basically.
Yeah, I mean, we're all victims of modernity, me including. I mean, I was supposed to be a blood and soil nationalist, but I haven't been all too much in Sweden even over these last few years. And I mean, it is what it is. Everyone, as I said, we're victims of modernity. Now, here is a valuable lesson also. Like, for any guy who listens to this and think we're white knighting or whatever, like, for me, my perspective is that I don't endorse the barbarism of these modern women. I don't like the modern women. I don't like the modern woman.
Can I just interrupt you momentarily?
Yeah.
Someone has said, in the live chat, someone has said, women must not and cannot be above criticism, or else you guys are no more than the cucks you claim to oppose.
Yeah.
Neither Marcus nor I is saying that women should be above criticism. What we're saying is that you should not fetishize and become obsessed with the flaws of the women. Because after all, you probably wouldn't be so concerned with their flaws and their past mistakes if they were not so attractive. And certainly you would not be so concerned with their past mistakes if they were men. And that's just demonstrably true.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't want to come across as having a weak position on women. On the contrary, I mean, how many videos have I made against porn? Like, obviously, if you're serious about not supporting degeneracy, yeah, you can't watch porn because it's an industry that allows women to, well, sell their bodies. So, I mean, that is the ultimate strike against the modern women. And yet again, I've also been adamant that I'm against Sex and the City culture. I'm against feminism. So my way, my vision for the future is also that women go back to having a bit more dignity. So it's not that I endorse women acting like degenerates. I don't endorse women making money from porn, for example. So, I mean, that is a clear distinction. So instead of just angrily lashing out at women on our side, like, take issue with the structures that allows degeneracy, for example. So if you watch some of these Hollywood or MTV, really famous artists, music artists, I mean, if you want to attack someone rhetorically and intellectually, yeah, attack them. Troll attack them, because they are the ones who influence young girls to become really degenerate. So I don't want anyone to think that I accept or in any way support the modern women. I'm just saying that the women who are at least pushing somewhat in our direction, pulling somewhat for our worldview, I mean, don't attack them. There are plenty of other people to troll. All these feminists, for example, troll them instead. I am the first one to criticize both men and women. So if someone says that I don't criticize women, you've obviously not understood my teachings, you haven't watched my videos, you haven't understood my perspective on the situation. And also, like, for women, they have obviously become heretical for a reason, and that can be perhaps that their fathers, like the previous generation, they didn't care about their daughters being degenerate. So I mean, it's we look towards the future. Okay, what kind of society do we want? I don't want a degenerate society. Yeah, so then we take steps to do what we can. So, for example, take issue with porn. So that would be my response to any such sentiments.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also, on a similar token, I think we don't want a future society in which men are constantly angry at women and calling them bitches, whores and sluts. I mean, that does not become us. It's degraded. I think this is something I should have said in the long video that I did. I think it's unworthy and degrading for white men to talk about white women in that way. And it obviously is not just a rational response. It has obviously become a habit, something that certain people get off on doing over and over again. Like the villagers chasing the person who's done wrong and pelting them with the tomatoes, and it just goes on and on. Well, not tomatoes, whatever. And you know what I mean? It does not become us. It doesn't help anyone. I just think that should be kept in check, because after all, we don't want an Islamic future.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this rhetoric also, it's about optics, it's about aesthetics. So if I'm having my metaphysical duel with with the feminists, for example, and they say to me, oh, great lion, you want to oppress women, etc., and you don't like women. And I say, no, I like women. That's why I'm anti-degeneracy and anti-feminism. And then if they can point to, oh, but look how many right-wing guys write these sort of mean things about women. Like, you're giving ammunition to the enemy. You're giving ammunition to the people who are creating the sort of society which creates degenerate women. So, I mean, that's the predicament. So if you're serious about wanting a future where women aren't behaving badly, like many of them are doing today, yeah, present your worldview in an attractive way that more women can accept. So if you say like, oh, we should put all women in cages, etc., I mean, no reasonable woman is going to listen to that. But if you say like, oh, I don't think it's good for a woman to be out at nightclubs every weekend because that will lower her sexual market value. I mean, depending on what kind of rhetoric you have to be reasonable. You have to present reasonable arguments and reasonable aesthetics for people to accept. So if a normie comes into, if a normie were to tune into this conversation and both you and I were like, oh, these slots are so horrible, we need to have white sharia now and place them in chains. I mean, they wouldn't subscribe to our ideas then.
What they would think is those are two guys who are terrified of women.
Yeah, definitely. So what we can say instead is, okay, it is better for the happiness of women to not participate in degeneracy. That's a legitimate argument that I can propose. And if I had the cultural power in the West or in Sweden, I would send in to every school. So every classroom of 15-year-old girls, I would send in the most handsome guy into that room and have a talk to them and say like, okay, women, these are the rules that have dignity. Don't give yourself up to all of these men. Maintain your dignity, find a good man, aim to have a family. That is what I would do, because then they would probably listen. They would probably say, okay, this sounds reasonable. Because as it is right now, they hear 90% of everything they're hearing comes from Hollywood that says to them, okay, be as degenerate as you can possibly be and behave really badly. And then if the opposition voice is a lot of guys calling them, oh, you're going to be whores anyway, I mean, then do you give them no option? So what we need to do is give them a path of enlightenment to take. And we need to present that path as something reasonable. And we need to present that as a benevolent older brother, for example, that wants the best for them. And it becomes so extremely hard when these guys are lowering the trust levels for us. So, I mean, yeah, I maintain I have a strong position on the woman question. I have a strong position on the degenerate question.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's very clear. It is not a case of giving in to these women. It's a case of maintaining order and decorum and morale among the community at large, especially the young men. Because I really worry that this whole thing has just unleashed a torrent of male anger, male insecurity towards women. That's how it looks. That's how it feels. And it's definitely how the outside are going to see it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think... you go.
No, I'm good.
I was just going to say... I was going to move on to a completely different topic, which is, kind of related to all of this, which is... the issue of self-improvement. Obviously the focus of your channel, do you think it would be fair to say that the focus of your channel is about helping young men to be better?
I suppose that's a fair assessment of the channel. Like the official description is that it's dedicated to how glorious and magnificent I am. But I've had it there since the beginning. I've actually never changed this because I am a bit narcissistic sometimes. But I'd say that it's fun helping others. It's really, really nice, and you get really good feedback of it as well. And I'd say that's a good description of the channel, actually.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have an Ask FM page, and people send me, you know, questions, and it's usually about either ethical issues or something that, that they want advice, and I give them. There are so many. I mean, there are hundreds of questions, but I do try to answer the ones I can, and it is a very nice feeling, you know, to think that you might have solved a problem for somebody, and you might have helped them to become better. And again, I think this is something that should be really key to what we do. The idea of helping the people who are attracted to our movement to become the best that they can become. Not just, I mean, it's become relevant here with the Thoughtgate thing, but just in general, I think it's, we should be exemplars. Now, obviously, every one of us is not going to be rich, highly intelligent, good looking, and with a great body. But, you know, and all the rest, compassionate, creative, highly, very talented, and all this. Obviously, not everyone is going to be all of these things, but we should do what we can, each one of us. And I think that, because of course, the reason to do that is not just for selfish reasons, but also because if we look good and we are good, and you know, we demonstrably are confident, accomplished, secure, then that will attract more people to our movement. It will make more people amenable to our ideas, which otherwise they're desperate to dismiss, because these are difficult ideas. These are ideas that people resist. And go on.
Yeah, definitely. I agree completely. Like if we, if I look upon Sweden, for example, this goes for all of the West. I mean, our ideas need to be transmitted by people who the population at large can have trust in. So yet again, to go back to the local police officer, or even to high-ranking military or high-ranking policemen, I mean, they need to look upon us and see, can I trust this individual? Does this guy seem to have his life in order? Does he seem like a disciplined and reasonable, orderly man? And if you have the sort of aesthetics of the white nationalism 1.0, like with skinheads, etc., it doesn't inspire confidence, and it doesn't look representable to present yourself as an alternative for leadership in a nation. So what we need to do is, and I think Greg mentioned this in the latest in the previous episode, that their elite versus our elite. So obviously, if we're going to be seen as an attractive choice, we need to become attractive, as it were. Because, as you say, the ideas are hard to accept as it is, but if we can put ourselves first, then comes the idea. So they see, oh, who are these guys? They look really confident, charismatic, well-trained, well-dressed, well-groomed. They look like winners, basically. We can trust in them to take care of business, because people, obviously, they're attracted to success. Then they will be much, much more willing to embrace our worldview. And I mean, it's very important to discuss ideas and to have intellectual clarity and everything like that. But the aesthetic side is, in my view, at least in this metaphysical crusade we're in, it's so excruciatingly important, just because to get that trust of the population.
It's not just a matter of the superficial aesthetics or how we look. It's also a matter of what we are, because we are going to need to be very strong and very resourceful, and you can't really do that as a to use the most extreme stereotype, you can't really be strong and accomplished and secure and resourceful if you are a beta incel virgin basement dweller. It's just a fact. You can't do it. So we have to toughen up. And indeed, 2017 has seen a lot of the figureheads in this movement toughen up through various baptisms of fire. But I think that should also be the case. You know, the more rank and file of the movement should also try to improve themselves for that reason. We don't want to just be talking the talk. We have to actually be, as strong and resourceful and resilient as possible. And so that's why I really want, when I give advice to people on whatever it is, a career or education, whatever it is, or their emotional problems, it's not just to help that one person. It's not just to help the community. It's to help this movement get better.
Yeah, definitely. I can actually say that, speaking of Charlottesville, something, a white pill for me that I saw from there was David Duke being surrounded by three, I think they were from Identity Europe, I'm not sure, but they were they had white polos on, looked jacked, looked had flashy haircuts, they looked charismatic and confident. That was good to see, because that, just the picture, it radiated success. The drive. So more of that. And to, if any of you lads are watching this, salutes to you. And obviously something we need more of. And this can have a good trickling effect as well. So if one guy starts actively thinking every day self-improvement, like always being well-dressed, well-groomed, confident, good body language, other people will see that, take after him, and then we have a whole culture of glory. And when people then see the left wing, for example, I mean, the left wing, they could be paid by us just because they look so bad. So if we have, I shared on my Facebook yesterday some sort of monster, a really fat woman who was dressed like she had a dragon tail, and she started like she had her boobs out and everything. It looks so excruciatingly bad. I mean, that is just a godsend for us that the left managed to look so bad. So what we need to do is make it as the distinction between us so clear as possible, that right wing, nationalist, traditionalist, whatever you want to refer to us as, are orderly, beautiful, good, disciplined, everything like that, and the left presents a completely different thing. And then obviously people will see, a regular normie will say, okay, who do I trust the most? Which ideology, which vision for the future can I place my trust in? Can I place my children's future in? So they see either these Chad nationalists or these ham beast leftists. So I mean, it's important.
Yeah, indeed. This is a matter of the future, and trying to direct things in our in the way we want. And I think that it is easy just to resent the left, but and degenerate nihilistic modernity. But the much tougher option, the much tougher course, is to present a very positive, optimistic alternative. Because a lot of us, as I said before, a lot of us are malcontented, disaffected, and for whatever reasons. And that makes us, I mean, I made a video about this very early on, that I think depressed people are more likely to notice problems in society, whereas happy people are too busy being happy and successful, and that it's very easy for them to delude themselves, you know. So there is a link here. And it's not something that I would want to deny or obliterate. But what I am saying is that eventually disillusionment has to turn to optimism. It has to transform that. Because otherwise it's just despair, which is indulgent. Yeah. You know, it's easy to be all lost and all that. Eventually the responsible thing to do is to, find strength. And gather strength and build strength, and then create something that is attractive to other people.
Yeah, something I always try to do, and this is something I try to do, like when I present an idea or a teaching or something like that. If I take something away, I want to give something as well. So if I say, "Okay, lads, now you cannot watch porn anymore," if I just say that, then I've taken something away. But if I give them something, okay. But you will have higher energy levels. You will find things more beautiful. You will be able to interact more naturally with women, and you will have better sex, and you will have all of these sort of good things. So that is something, because it's so easy to just focus on don't do this, don't do that, and this is so bad. So we must always present an option do this because it's better. Because we have a reality, we have nature on our side. So then we can say it yet again for women. If I say to them, you know what, you should not sleep around and be degenerate, so you can't do this, then I present to them, you can have a loving man who you can go on romantic dinners with and cuddle with, and then you can have a family. And same thing with this despair that many guys, I mean, everyone has felt it, of course. Everyone has been blackpilled from time to time. But if you then view it as, okay, we know our civilization is falling all around us, but if you view it as men among the ruins, now we can create something new. Now we can be part in creating a new culture, and we can shape it entirely how we want. So this is what I do basically every day. I want to promote the culture of good Nordic aesthetics and Hellenic aesthetics and some science fiction and some fantasy. I can just push that because I have this unique opportunity to do so. So yes, I see Sweden is decaying, Scotland, Great Britain, Ireland is decaying, America is decaying, but we also in that have a unique opportunity to push forward in something else. So constantly going with that mindset that you never take something away, but you present something new. Then of course, yes, we can all lament what's happening to our nations, but in order to stay sane, basically, and stay optimistic and stay happy and present an attractive culture, we need to also give like, okay, lads, this is fucking go time. This is what we're doing. We're creating this new culture with art, aesthetics, music. So we have this fash wave channels that are creating music and creating this sort of culture. So I am quite white-pilled, despite everything. And a little historic example here is the Black Death in Europe, which killed, on certain places, like half of the population. Tremendously many people died. After that comes the Renaissance and an economic upswing. So, I mean, something can die, but from the ashes can something new arise. So, a little rant there, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's a very beautiful image that, you know, after hitting rock bottom, there is the chance for new life. You know, after hitting rock bottom, there is the chance for new order and new function. You know, after the dysfunction has sort of reached its zenith. So that is something to bear in mind and really to have faith in. But also, you have to make it happen. And that is a massive, it's titanic, and no one person can do it. But of course, it's not down to any one person. It's down to thousands and thousands and thousands of us who are now aware of this, who are now aware of the problem. And I would say that it's important, you know, you've got to think about the problem and analyze and dissect it every day. Well, some of us have. But you should also be thinking about the new thing, the alternative. And by the way, this actually links into, because while you were talking, I was scanning the chat. Mm-hmm. And there are various people saying, like, for example, when I say that people should, you know, improve themselves, better themselves, and so on. And there are various people saying, like, for example, that I'm 34 and still live with my parents. That is not true. I haven't lived with my father, since January. And even before then, I was just without the doxing, I was just about to move out. And I had damn good reasons for living with my father. So that's, and you know, anyone who knows the channel knows what those reasons are. And there are other things that I'm not in shape, and so on. But the thing is, this is all, you know, that I don't live up to the things that I'm saying other people should do. But this is all just a way of ignoring the message. Let's say that I'm a fat lump and I say that people should get in shape. Does the fact that I'm a fat lump mean that people shouldn't get in shape? No, it doesn't. And I think that when people focus on that, well, you're not a perfect example of the ideals that you're espousing. Yeah, you can talk about hypocrisy, but really what you're actually doing is just blackpilling everyone else. You're just demotivating everyone else. And you're doing that selfishly so that you don't have to do something. And, so do you want to say something?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And it's... it bothers me seeing these sort of things. And I can just take an example. I believe music to be excruciatingly important. I look at the Irish music tradition, how much fire they have attained from just these rebel songs. For me personally, I wish I could sing. I sing every once in a while. I'm not good at it, but I sing to torment my my friends. And I say to musicians, like, okay, you know what? I'm the first one to support you. I'm the first one to have your music in my videos. I'm the first one to link your work, and I support you 100%. I can't sing myself. I know that I have certain strength. I can do certain things. I can't do other things. Music is a classic example of that. I have no idea about how to make music, but I think it's important that people make music. So does that make me a hypocrite? I don't know. Like, everyone can do something and try to be good and try to improve themselves. Not everyone can be the best at everything. So, main point is that, yeah, we're all victims of modernity. No one is perfect. Everyone is trying to do their part. If someone is really good at writing articles for, yeah, yet again, Countercurrents, but they are not a good speaker, for example. I mean, does it matter? No, it matters that the articles are coming up. That's no one can be perfect.
Absolutely. But it is important to focus on what each person is doing.
Yeah.
I know that, and this is the thing, this is another reason that Thoughtgate depressed me so much, because I know that each of these women, the ones that I'm in touch with, they work all the time. You know, and I know that I work all the time, and I'm sure that you do as well. In fact, everyone that I know in the movement is basically a workaholic. And yeah, because without that, it could not go on. Everything would grind to a halt. I think this is underestimated by people. And I'm not asking for praise or encouragement or donations. I'm just stating this really on behalf of the other people in the movement who create content. I say it because I'm trying to demonstrate that nothing comes from nothing. And, brings reward. I mean, I went into this in the Wethnal speech, I won't go into it here.
I agree completely. I mean, living the struggle, and I have absolutely no problem in giving praise to myself. So I can just say that, yeah, I mean, it's putting on the pressure for a long period of time. It takes its toll, definitely it does. And I mean, when was the last time either of us relaxed? You don't really relax, because it's constantly. It has its rewards as well, but I don't think anyone should make any illusions that this is something. And I haven't gotten this criticism myself, but I've seen some of these women gotten this criticism, and you elaborated as well in your video, like, doing this for the money. That would be the most stupid thing in the entire world. There are just about any career path, at least for me, like, would have granted more money. So, I mean, it's obviously not about that. Sure, I want to attain as much shekels as possible, because money is power, definitely. But if it was just about that, yeah, don't do YouTube. That would be extremely silly. So if you're looking to just make money, do something else, because then you can work a lot less and you can gain a lot more financial security.
Yes, indeed. Well, I think this has been very interesting. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
I said in my tweet and in my Facebook post that we were going to elaborate on the importance of being a mad cunt. And I just wrote that for the lols. But
right. Okay. For the sake of clarity, what is a mad cunt?
Well, in this particular context, I would say that both you and I are mad cunts, in the sense that if someone wants to be edgy, if someone wants to be a bit mad in this day and age, if you really want to push the boundaries, yeah, put your name and face upon a set of controversial views. It can be the JQ, or it can be the primordial truth. That's the biological reality of things, like the teachings of modern nature. We see this with his whole generation cyclone, generation C. A lot of both the boys and girls who are they're so fed up with this whole political correct agenda, so that they just tune out and basically trolled extremely much, and that gives me hope for the future as well. That this the leftists, they've pushed it so far that it becomes just a big joke. Then obviously some things will get you in jail. I mean, I was in Germany over the autumn. Now I could have gone to jail if I said something. Okay, not 100% certain, but you can go to jail in Germany if you say certain things in regards to the Second World War. So, I mean, I'm not saying that anyone should go to prison for that sake, but if someone wants to embark upon a glorious adventure in the Immaterium, now would be the time. And also a white pill here is that imagine what exciting time to be alive. I mean, I haven't had the best year necessarily, but it's been a metaphysical boxing match with life itself, where we just landed heavy blows on each other. A really hectic year, but it sure as hell hasn't been dull one moment. And everyone like can participate in a crusade, a metaphysical crusade that can shape the future of our entire civilization. So, I mean, yes, things might look dark, but imagine you can be part of something great, like really.
Oh yeah, so, and I think we can be assured that 2018 is going to be another roller coaster. So if anyone wants to be a part of that, and if anyone wants to have some of the to share in the excitement, start a channel, start a podcast, or do something.
Yeah, definitely. And for everyone who doesn't really know what to do, like first step, go to the gym, start your self-improvement journey, clean up your diet, everything like that. Start dressing well. Second step, start networking. Perhaps there aren't any groups, but you can always, like, thanks to the Immaterium, we can always network. It's quite easy nowadays to just, oh, you know what, are there any lads in this area who wants to have a gym session or whatever? So, I mean, find the community and start networking in the physical realm as well. And just start improving yourself, because if you start improving yourself really much now and you decide like, okay, I want to be a part of a European, a Western revival, a new renaissance, you will be in a much better position in doing so if you level yourself. And then it doesn't matter if you don't have a clear plan. If you level yourself up, more quest lines will open, to use a bit of gaming language. So, I mean, even if you don't know anything about how next year will look, if you are better prepared for anything and everything, more opportunities will arise for you. So even if you feel really black-pilled now, you don't really have any solid, bright vision for the future, I mean, you can always change that. And by improving yourself, yeah, a lot more bright parts of enlightenment that goes upwards and onwards, they will present themselves to you. So you can't just sit idly by and wait for something to happen to you. So to everyone who's listening and feels like, you know what, the future is looking a bit dark, I'm stretching out my hand and granting you a glorious pill now, so you can swallow it, hit the gym, hit the books, read Countercurrents, and just every single day try to improve yourself, and then in a year you'll be in a good position of doing, yeah, whatever you want to do.
Excellent. Let's leave it at that nice, optimistic message. Well, thank you, the Golden One. This has been a very interesting discussion. I hope it's been productive for people. I know that we're going on and on about Thoughtgate. I hope that, yeah, it might come up in one or two other hangouts here. But hopefully not beyond that, because I think it should just be learned from and, you know, put behind us. Well, thank you, the Golden One.
Oh, thank you.
All right. And the next one is, who's it with? All right, Kaelin Robertson, and that's in about an hour from now. So, okay, I will see you then. Thank you for listening.